Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome, everybody, to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. Man, am I excited about today's show. This is going to be a good one, and I am so grateful many of you are here joining us live. We've got a full studio here on the board. I should say on the board. We don't have a full studio. It's just me and Lisa here, but we see all the callers that are in online listening from the computer as well as on the phone. And it's going to be a big show today. We've got several special guests. And for those of you that are listening to the show for the first time, welcome. I'm your host. I'm looking at all my list to get the things to get through today. I am your host, and yes, I've been doing this for years. I'm embarrassed there. I'm your host, Mark Kohler, attorney, CPA, entrepreneur, here every week, Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, talking about ways to make money, protect it, and save taxes, and just bringing it all together. And I'm so honored to have an incredible crew at the home office in Southern Utah, as well as we've got, gosh, more and more team members in our Phoenix and Irvine, California office. So we're here helping clients bring it all together. Now today, besides our regular tipsters, I've also got a special guest, Jeff Seamus, the CEO and co-founder of All Clients. He's going to talk us about this efficiency topic and productivity topic, which I was grateful to have him come on today with David Allen, our best-selling author guest. We're just power-packed today, just full of information. So we're excited to have Jeff with us. We'll be talking to him shortly. We've got our regular experts that join us each week to give us tax and legal tips. So have your yellow pads handy. Make a note to self to listen to this later on iTunes or at home on your computer where you can take more notes, because this is going to be awesome. I'm excited just to take notes myself. So this is going to be good. Okay, a few announcements right off the bat. I shared a little message in today's newsletter that came from my heart. I want you to look over that if you would. I talk about the emotional drain it can be being an entrepreneur and the ups and downs of cash flow. And when you're an entrepreneur, man, the upside can be so exciting, but that roller coaster of income can be a real challenge on your family, on your marriage, on your own psyche. So I give a few tips there that I'd like you to look at is we all battle that, trying to be careful with our relationships as we pursue our dream of entrepreneurship. So look into that. I think many of you will feel something inside you stir because you'll know what I'm talking about. Also this month, one of the big announcements, excited about this. This is estate planning month. Now we do this once a year. So today's the big announcement. It went out in the newsletter this morning, and this is it. So this is the first any of you have maybe heard of it. If you've been a client for years, you know that this comes around every year. But if you're new, what we do once a year is try to help our clients that are procrastinating that important thing called having a will or a trust or an estate plan, which I know many of you are like, oh my gosh, do I really need to do that? And some of you that are younger think, I don't need to worry about that. But you never know when your time's up. And since it's Memorial Day, this is the Memorial Day Estate Planning Month. So starting tomorrow morning, May 15th until June 15th, 30 days of deep discounts on estate planning. $300 to $400 off on the entire service, and you get the same quality service you would have paying more just a few months ago or in the months to come. And this is, again, in a way we try to encourage you to get this stuff done. So if you want to get your will, trust, estate plan done, you'll be able to meet with an attorney and have that one-on-one consultation to tailor it to your situation. You'll love it. So look at the newsletter. There's a little web form that you can fill out to even get the process started, or just call the office and go, let me talk to Julie. Let's get this rolling. So Julie Deck, our new estate planning paralegal, who's just turned everything around in the last couple months, she is fantastic. Give Julie Deck a call if you want to get rolling there. Now, let's move into some of our tips for today, because we've got a busy, busy show. And it goes without saying, we've got some great blog articles. I got a new YouTube video this week. Every week I try to promote 1 to 2 new videos, as well as my ongoing CFO in a Box video series. It's all there. So we want to be your source for tax and legal support, because it is so hard out there. You know, I had a client this morning. I got off a phone call 30 minutes ago, and a client said, Mark, I'm so excited to talk to you. I went to meet with my accountant I've had for 4 years, and he said, Mark, I'm not kidding you. It was like right out of your CPA book, what your CPA isn't telling you. He goes, I just felt like I literally was the character in your book. I went in to meet my CPA yesterday, sat down and said, we really need to save more on taxes this year. And the CPA said, you just need to make less money. And he had a straight face when he said it. He said, dude, it was unbelievable. Like literally my CPA's advice to me was, you're making too much money. That's all you can do. And he was, I'm just stuttering and dumbfounded that's the number one strategy a CPA would have the audacity to say. Well, that's not here. That's not what happens at K&E CPAs, KQS lawyers. We're about creativity and honesty and integrity and taking control of that future. And there are things you can do for your asset protection. There are things you can do to save taxes. I'm passionate about it. I love it. And I just love being here with you. I mean, I'm just pumped. I think it's my favorite time of the week, being here on the show with you. Okay, so I'm going to bring out our first expert here today. We've got Erin Larson joining us. She's been on the show before. She's our newest CPA in the firm. She's one of our prodigies. She's been with us for several years. Along the way, she's had a couple children. She's amazing. We just love Erin. And so I want to welcome Erin to the show with a tax tip for us. Erin, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha here. And man, I know you came up for air after tax season was over, so this is an honor for us to have you back on the show.
Yes, we're a little bit relieved. It's not quite as stressful. That's good.
Well, awesome. Well, many of you don't know that, of course, Erin's in the trenches helping our clients prepare their tax returns. She's what we call a PTC, personal tax consultant. So when you join our firm as a client, you're going to get assigned one of these young budding geniuses that helps you in the trenches there prepare your return, and then my partners and I help review and work with Erin on a regular basis. But Erin's there with you day in and day out.
Yeah.
So Erin, what have you seen this week? What have you experienced that you could share with us that might help us?
This week's kind of been interesting. I actually had several things, but this is one that kind of really popped to my mind, especially summer coming into it. Is paying your kids, because I've had, especially where the summer's coming, kids need some stuff to do, having them help work with your business or your rental properties if they're close to you, doing something that sort and paying them and making sure you do it right. I actually had a client this last week, and we talked about the tip last year, but he kind of forgot and didn't utilize it, and it would have saved him about $2,700 in taxes if he would have done it. So this year, we made a point that we are going to work on this, and him and his wife are all on board, ready to do this year, so they can make sure. So I'm really just going to hit mainly if you have kids 18 and under, because there's obviously tons of different things, but that one, especially with the kids coming out of school. So
Before we get into the details here, let me just tell you from my experience yesterday. Literally, I had two clients in my office here in Irvine, and maybe they were visiting Disneyland, taking a write-off. They're probably listening to the show. They'll laugh. But at one point in the conversation, Erin, they said, well, Mark, they're new clients, and they haven't read my book either. They've only seen me present a little bit here and there at different club meetings. And they said, Mark, we're a little embarrassed to bring this up, but we wanted to talk about paying our kids. Can we do that? Is that okay? And like, we don't want to. I'm like, of course it's okay. And I was like, and I jumped right into it. And they were like, oh my gosh, this is the best. We've wanted to do this. And so they have some rental property. They've got a small business here locally, and they're just thrilled. So, okay, so let's talk about under age 18. What are some key things that people screw up in this area? What do they need to do if they're
going
to pay
rent? So a big thing, depending on what type of entity they have, but if they have an S corp, they need to make sure they set up a family management company. It's a sole prop, easy to do. So it's just putting it in their Social Security name and making sure the S corp pays the family management company, and then the family management company pays the kids. We don't want to have it come out of the We don't want to have it come from the S corp, because then we'd be looking at payroll taxes, which we don't want to do. That's the point of the family management company. So making sure you're doing that. All right. Now, if you have an LLC that's owned by you and your spouse, or just a sole proprietor business, then you're fine to pay your kids. But looking at if you're coming from the S corp, we need to just make sure that you have that extra step of that sole proprietor and paying them from the right bank account and actually doing paying them. Because a lot of times people are like, well, I paid my kids, but I don't know where it came from or anything like that. So it's just easier if you have a set bank account that you just pay them from. And then that way you know the money came from, it's easy to track, and you can make sure you're utilizing everything.
Well, here's the question I get a lot too, Aaron, is people say, well, Mark, I didn't pay my kids last year through a family management company. Can I just book it as if I did pay them? Can I do that? What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, not, that one's
not
our
a
head scratcher. We don't love that idea, because if you ever come through in an audit, then we have issues. So we really, really don't want that. So that's why I say, starting now, let's start fresh. You have the summer. And doing it right, because if you do it right, then you're just safe and you're happy and everything's good. We don't have to worry come April 15th, scratching your head if we can really do that. And especially from an S corp, because that's even worse.
Yeah. And okay, now let me hit a couple other points, Aaron, and then you wrap it up, put a bow on it. First of all, folks, with your children under age 18, you do not need a W-2 them. You do not need to 1099 them. You do not have to withhold workers' comp, SUTA, FUTA, or FICA. Make them work hard this year. Usually this summer you could put them in an enclosed room with very few exits, put a hot lamp on them, and make them build tennis shoes or clothing. Kind of that Bangladesh strategy, work it in the house.
Sweatshop.
It's a good thing. That's right, do it. But you don't need to do any of that formality. Just make sure you don't pay them out of the S-Corp. Pay them out of a sole proprietorship or an LLC that holds your rentals. Follow the paper trail. Anything else, Aaron, that you would throw on
there? They can do up to $6,100 this year. So that's whatever the standard deduction, because that changes from year to year. So that this year it's going to be $6,100.
I like it. And you could pay your kids more than $6,100, but then if you do, the kids have to file a tax return. And
and they may have some taxes they have to pay, but that's the limit of you're free and you're good to go.
Yeah. We should call this the Bangladesh strategy. That's what we should do.
We should.
I'm going to think about that. Someone's going to sue me for that one. Okay. Well, Aaron, you're awesome. Thanks for joining the show. Folks, this is Aaron Larson, one of our PTCs at K&E CPAs. She joins us on the show every few months when we can rip her away from her. Boy, I don't know. That little incubator of getting taxes. I know she's just like, they're working so hard. So thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Folks, if you need to talk to Aaron one-on-one or you'd like to work with her as your PTC, just call the office and say, man, I like that Aaron gal. She's been on the show. Hook me up with her, and she's great. So you'd like to work with her. Okay, now we're going to keep moving here. We've got a busy hour, so I want to bring out our other expert, someone that needs no introduction. Folks, you've heard him many times on the show. He has a new blog article that came out today on the newsletter. The one and only Matt Sorensen, my partner in KKOS Lawyers. Matt, thanks for joining the show.
Glad to be on, and I'm much happier to be here in my office as opposed to at a truck stop restaurant like I was last time.
That's right. We had you as a guest having an order of flapjacks with some truckers on your phone calling into the show.
Right.
It was a little noisy. Well, Matt, I was excited. I'm not sure if you heard this at the beginning of the show. I announced our estate planning month, deep discounts in estate plans for only a four-week period. Folks, this is your time to get it done. I wondered, did you see our new...
If you're not going to die, though, you don't need to worry about it. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you've gone with some sort of cryogenic strategy where you're not going to die, then you're fine.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you if you saw our new promo image that I just sent over that we could maybe throw up on the website, kind of getting everybody excited about Memorial Day. Did you see that yet?
Yeah, I did see that. And, it's some new creative thinking in the law firm. I like where you're going.
thought you might appreciate that. Folks, we got some new, you know, banner ads and things you'll see with some emails. You know, your typical Memorial Day flags, some tombstones, you know, just kind of reminding us of our memories. And then, of course, there's this Justin got creative and came up with a swimsuit with the flag image on it. So that's the more racier image. We might throw that out later. That's our late email. So. All right. Well, Matt, now, hey, you've got a tip for us today. What'd you encounter this week in your practice?
Well, I was actually going to try and stay on estate planning and maybe highlight my own article in the blog. As we're doing estate planning right now, we're making the push, and as Mark said, for estate planning month, I think it's important to keep in mind what our estate plan can do. And, you know, I think a lot of people talk about doing an estate plan to avoid probate, which is a big issue, you know, planning for your family, having a plan in place is very critical. But some of the things that sometimes get overlooked, and one of the things I wrote about in the newsletter article, is dealing with the problem child. I had one of the last estate plans I did with a client, we had issues of that, of the other kids were great and dandy, didn't really want to put too much restrictions on them. The other one, there was one of the kids, though, it's like, do we even add them in? If we do add them in, how do we deal with them? They've got all sorts of drug and alcohol problems. They got creditors chasing them down. So how do I deal with that kid? So I just want to kind of put out some parameters of things to just keep in mind if you have one of these, problem child, is just keep in mind two things. I just want to make two points about
Okay, I like it. No, this is good. And, you know, again, I think a lot of young families see their little children and they think, okay, I better have a trust so when they turn 18, there's a structure here for them. They just don't get a big check. But then some parents have kids that are in their late 20s, 30s, and sometimes older that really are just not financially mature. And it's hard. Parents really struggle on what would happen to my child if I died and they ended up with my cute little rental property. They'd probably destroy it, you know, or something. So what are your two points, Matt? This is good.
All right. So the first point is it is more important that you address them in your estate plan than do nothing. I think sometimes people think, well, I just won't leave them anything and I won't have a plan. Well, no. If they're one of your children, they're going to automatically be presumed an heir and they're going to have a claim to a share of your estate. So you've got to be proactive in this instance where you have a quote-unquote problem child. And in your estate plan, if you want to disinherit them and you don't want them to receive anything from your estate, you want to specifically state that in the estate plan. Don't just, you know, let's say you have four kids. Don't just list the other three and say they each get a third and don't say anything about this other kid who's not getting anything. You want to still specifically indicate who they are and indicate that they're not getting anything. So it's a clear writing. There's situations and cases where kids who aren't listed can come back in and get a share because they weren't specifically disinherited. So you want to specifically list them if you want them out altogether. That's point number one.
Okay. Love it. Good.
Point number two I just want to make is if you want to still provide for them, but you don't want, you know, you don't want to disinherit them altogether. You just want some additional strings attached. There's lots of cool things you can do to exercise control, like you would probably be doing now, you know, with that child, is you obviously have assets in the estate and you don't want your child to, this child in particular, to have full access to them. So you have controls and when you might give them money or help them or not. So we want to try and allow the trust to do the same thing. But keep in mind, and there's just the one scenario I've had happen a couple times is the example I give in the newsletter article of, well, I want my son to get his share of the estate, but so long as he's married to Susie Floozy, I don't want him to get anything. So I want to put something in there that you know, if he's still married to Susie Floozy, you know, he doesn't get anything from the trust until he divorces her. Provisions like that, specifically that would promote divorce or something like that, were considered unlawful, typically aren't going to be enforced and are illegal under the trust terms. But there's a lot of other things you can do to really address that issue, frankly. Of, you know, let's say there's a child who has a spouse that might have financial problems. or that might be a drug addict or might have those issues. Address those issues in the trust and make conditions on your child receiving an inheritance based on, you know, those conditions and those issues, as opposed to their relationship and divorce. So there's other ways. I still think you can protect the money and address issues like that, and still reach your goals in providing for your family and having some control of those funds to help protect them.
I like it. And you know what's interesting, folks? It's true. You can't motivate your kids to go against public policy that we want to encourage. So if you divorce this kid, I mean, if you divorce my son-in-law or daughter-in-law that's a loser, you get the money once you divorce them. However, you can say, if you get married, I'll give you money, because you're promoting something our country believes in, and that's marriage. Another thing that's fun is you can say, if you quit dealing drugs, you can have the money. But if you start something illegal, you can't have, you know, this or that. You have to be, so you have to motivate kids to do things that are good or wholesome, or a judge is going to say, no way, we're going to throw that out. So, but there's so much here, Matt. I mean, it's just, you start talking and you think of all the different options here. So I love that you bring it up. Lots you can do here.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, now's the time to get the estate plan done. I'm just going to make another plug for it. Shameless, I know, but I'm going to do it. Get your estate plan done. Like I said earlier, if you're not going to die, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But everyone else, you know, if you don't have an estate plan, you might want to think about getting one.
Yeah, and we're talking $300 off if you're married, $200 off if you're single, and just call the office, talk to Julie Deck, and she'll get the process started with you, and you get all the same service and quality you would have otherwise. So, and also, I did a little video today on pet estate planning. So if some of you have pets that you want to leave money to, we've got a plan. So I know that's
cool.
Kind of funny, but it's true. You know, euthanasia is a big deal. Put the little fluffy down after grandma dies. Grandma may not be too happy. You'll have to answer that one later. So, all right, Matt, thanks for joining us on the show. Awesome to hear you. I'm grateful you're here.
Thanks, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you, folks. If you want to chat with Matt about and work with him on your estate plan or for any other matter, you can reach him at matt@kkoslawyers.com, matt@kkoslawyers. And check out his blog article. His website's rocking right now. He's working on a book, folks. Tell him to get his book done. We're dying to see it. It's the new IRA LLC book that's going to sweep the nation. So it's going to be good. All right. We'll talk to you later, man.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right, see you. Bye. Okay, well, folks, now I'm excited to introduce our next guest. Did I tell you today's show is just packed? Now, I purposely scheduled these two different experts for my show today for the same show, because I want to talk about productivity. I want to talk about making money. Sometimes on the show, of course, the focus is saving money, which is a penny saved, penny earned. Love it. Also about protecting our assets once we build them. But as small business owners, I love any sort of topic that can give me techniques and strategies to better manage my workload, better manage my clients, and do a better job as a small business owner, and thereby increase my income. So that's the other side of the equation. I can either cut costs or raise revenue, and I should be trying to do both at all times. So my first guest here today is Jeff Shamus. He's the CEO and co-founder of All Clients, one of the fastest growing companies in America right now with all-in-one sales and marketing software. He's been building client management software for 20 years. He helps you find new clients, follow up with past clients, and manage the clients you now have. So his software is easy to use. Less is more. He's awesome. So now, this is not an infomercial for Jeff's products. I can imagine many of you are going to check it out. But his insights into this topic is what I really wanted to bring him out for here today. So first and foremost, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you finding some time to be with us. I know how busy you are.
Yep.
To say the least, I don't want to share anything personal, but I know you've been doing a move. You've been just doing so much. It's a busy time of year, and I appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, thank you. Okay. So here's Jeff, you know, I sent you an email because this is the topic that I was really interested in. A specific question I wanted to ask you in this topic of managing clients. And many of you listening here will find this very insightful. And if I could start with this, Jeff, I wanted to ask a little bit about how you've divided entrepreneurs into three types of groups. And when it comes to client management, could you explain that a little bit? You came up with this. This was all you, right? I mean, this was your baby.
Yep, this is all me. But Mark, first I want to point out, client management might sound boring to people out there, but it's really a gold mine. Your past customers are a lot of times your new customers, and finding new customers and managing what you have. This is how you make money, and so many people are just experts at what they do. So if they're an insurance agent, they're an expert at being an insurance agent, but they're not an expert at managing their past clients and their future clients. And so that's why it's important to talk about client management.
Yeah, and I should have, of course, brought up that general question of what client management means to you, but boy, to you, I mean, without your software, where would your business be today even? Just you, Jeff,
well,
using your own software.
That's right. We like to say we eat our own dog food because, you know, we need to find clients. We need to follow up with our past clients and manage our current clients. So, but let me go into the different levels of entrepreneurs. And when I'm talking about a small business here, I'm talking about like a one-man show or a mom-and-pop shop, kind of like your sole entrepreneur that you talked about in last week's show. That's what we're talking about. And when I talk about levels, I'm not talking about their level of expertise with what they do. You know, they're an excellent real estate agent or an excellent restaurant owner, but they could be a level one database person. And then the other thing is, when we talk about level one, two, and three, it's okay to be a level one. It's the goal is not to take you from level one to level two to level three. The goal is just to understand where you're at and then use the tools that are designed for that level of expertise.
Jeff, I love it. And let me interject if I could real quick. See, this is the thing that I've talked until I'm blue in the face when I give workshops and this and that, is there are more and more schools that are trying to teach entrepreneurship certificates, which didn't exist even 5 or 10 years ago. But when you go to a traditional school, heaven forbid even high school or college, of course, you don't learn how to be a small business owner on a day-to-day
right.
basis. This is stuff you just kind of figure out on your own and
yep.
screw it up for years sometimes. And so
yeah.
I love how you said that there's no wrong or right way. It's just you have to identify what's my style. Okay, now how do I deal with that style?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so what's level one?
Okay, let's get into the level. So level one is that's your paper and pencil person. So that person uses a spiral notebook, very low tech, and they're the kind of person just getting comfortable with email, you know, like my mom. You know, that's the level one. So, again, they can be an excellent whatever they do, excellent carpet cleaner, but they're as far as technology goes and database, they're a level one. So let's jump to level three, and we'll get back to level two in a second.
Okay.
Level three, that is your high-tech savvy marketer. She uses automated systems, landing pages, autoresponders, email drip campaigns. She's got sales and marketing on autopilot. You know, she's just got everything running. Expert marketeer, and she sells online. Probably has shopping carts, and probably has a programmer on staff, or she's a programmer. Or so you see the two sides of the spectrum. You got the paper and pencil guy, and you've got the savvy expert technical marketing person.
One's not bad, one's not good. They're just different.
It just is what it is. And
right.
and then there's most of the people though fall in the middle, and what I call level two people. And level two people are organized, somewhat computerized. They have got software in place. Usually they have software that's piece together. So they might use Constant Contact for email, and they might use ACT for their database, and they might have a newsletter service, and they kind of piece things together, and they know the benefits of automating, and they want to automate more, but that's kind of where they fit in. They're not a one, they're not a three, they're right there in the middle.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I break them up.
Okay, now I like how we mentioned this early on, that we just need to identify ourselves when it comes to productivity, and this is going to bleed right into David Allen's comments later, I'm sure, in the show here, is that before we can tackle productivity, we need to know kind of our strengths and weaknesses. And,
yep.
And so if I'm a paper and spiral notebook slide rule kind of guy, then I can still manage my clients, but I might take a different approach at doing it.
Yeah, what I would do for if you're a level one is I would move to Gmail is what I would do. So Gmail, it's free, so the price is right. And you put all your contacts there. What you want to do is you want to get all of your contacts in one place. All right. So you can, and with Gmail you can get it on the road or get it at home. And you can also use Outlook. I mean, same type of thing. I'd prefer Gmail. But you would have your contacts in there, you have your calendar in there, you have your tasks, and you've just got everything in one place. You can email out of Gmail, and that's a good way to get started and to start moving from the paper and pencil to Gmail. And if you don't want to, you could still do paper and pencil. Some people are very organized that way. But if they want to take that first step, the first level is something like Gmail or Outlook.
I like it. And I would tell those folks, and we'll want to move through these phases fairly quickly here, and I'm going to recommend anybody that's fascinated with this topic, of course, to get a one-on-one presentation from Jeff, and his website does a wonderful – I sat down. He made me do it, and I loved it. He made me sit down and watch this little webinar that explained this more fully, and I learned so much. And so, folks, you can do that on your own time, but let me just say, too, that I want to point out to level one folks out there, we're in a new day and age, and tracking who your customers are and gathering their phone, email, and name and where they're located, even more so now because we're a global business, very rarely are now you just a geographically small town business. It's very rare. You have to capture this data. So even if, again, you're a slide rule, notepaper person, please start gathering your clients so that someday you might have the inkling to send them some marketing material. And if you don't gather their data, you're never going to have it. So start gathering data would be my first thing that I would say too.
Yeah, Mark, I have a little story. I worked with a mortgage broker, and I was talking to him about databases. This is way back in the day, and trying to encourage him to put his clients in a database. And he said, "I don't need a database. My clients are right there." And he pointed to his filing cabinets, and he said, "My clients are in there. And if they need me or they need to do another loan, they'll call me." And I was just shocked at that thought that you don't need to follow up. You don't need to send them a newsletter every month or keep in touch with them or say hi or anything. It's they'll call me when they're ready to do another deal.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, okay, so let's quickly move through. What would be some of your recommendations for stage two and three? Wrap it up.
Not to be an advertisement, but all clients kind of fits into level two, where you've got an all-in-one system that's your client database and your to-dos, and you can do email marketing and lead capture pages, autoresponders. So that's kind of where that fits in. And you don't have to use all clients. There's products you can piece together and do the same thing, but I like the all-in-one concept to have everything in one place. And then the level three people, they're using something like Infusionsoft. So Infusionsoft, very high-end, excellent product, or they could be using something like Salesforce. High-end products, excellent, does everything, but more complex. You have to be that savvy technical person to get something out of those products.
Now, one question I had for you, and by the way, I know that I appreciate you mentioning where your software fits in this, because I think that's been your target. It's not the high-tech savvy, I want to spend $500 or more a month on just software to manage this, but also at the same time you're trying to bring people up from level one. So I think you've got a great spot where a lot of small business owners reside. I just had one question, the last question of you, if I could, is where does your mobile device come into managing clients for you? How do you use your phone? Do you use it much in your system at all?
You can. It depends on what kind of business, because our product fits into, a real estate agent can use it, or a restaurant owner, or a window cleaner. So some people are on the road more than others. But where the road people would use it is they would look up clients from there, look at their calendar, call a client, get an address, and navigate there. Mostly dealing with contacting the clients from the mobile, from being on the road. You wouldn't be setting up autoresponders or building lead generating web pages, from your mobile. You would do that from your PC or Mac.
I love it. But you have that access, which is what I presumed. And folks, this is the type of stuff that allows you, and the software that Jeff uses is to set up a little email once a month or once a week, or send out a response of a thank you when a purchase is made, and shopping carts if needs be, and coordinate it with your website, and gathering people's contact information. So it's all integrated. And here's the reason why, folks, in summary, that I wanted to bring Jeff on the show for a moment is on this productivity topic. Being organized is so, so, so important, which we're going to talk about even more so here in the show in a moment. But having that organization and being able to reach out to your clients on a regular basis so that there's TOMA, top-of-mind awareness. You want clients to think of you when your service or product is put in front of them. Oh, yeah, that's who I thought of was your business. So I just have been thrilled with what you're doing over at your office, and I don't know, Jeff, any final pointers or tips that you'd give to someone?
Yeah, I think one thing I want to bring up, a lot of people have tried a client management system in the past and have failed, or what they think is failed. They'll try something like Salesforce because it's the one that you hear everybody's using Salesforce, and they get into it, and it's too much because they're a level 1.5, and they're trying to use a level 3 product. And they give up, and they go back to paper and pencil, and they don't realize that there are other solutions great for level ones, level 1.5, and level twos. So don't give up if you've tried something and it didn't work for you. There is something out there just for you.
I like it. Jeff, you're wonderful. Thanks so much for finding some time to join us on the show. And what's your website if people want to go learn a little bit more, watch a webinar, and learn some of these levels and what options they have before them?
They just go to allclients.com.
Allclients.com. There you go. Simple and easy. Well, Jeff,
hey, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Hey, you bet. I wish we could have talked more, but I think this is a great introduction to the topic for folks, and it's been a power-packed show thus far. Jeff, we'll have you back. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, folks, now we come to the portion of our show where we bring out our climax of the show, our special guest. We're excited to have David Allen here back on the show. He's been on once before, and it's always an honor to have him here. So many of you, I'm sure, have tuned into the show because you know who he is. He's widely recognized as the world's leading expert on personal and organizational productivity, keyword productivity, which I love. You saw that in my email this morning. And his 30-year pioneering research and coaching to corporate managers and CEOs is some of the most prestigious companies in the country. And Time Magazine called his flagship book, Getting Things Done, the definitive business self-help book of the decade. Wow. And it's incredible. So author of Getting Things Done, This Art of Stress-Free Productivity, Ready for Anything, 52 Productivity Principles of Getting Things Done, Making It All Work. I've got two of his books sitting here right in front of me. He's also a good-looking guy, and we're just it's an honor to have him here with us. So, David, welcome to the show. Thanks for being back here with us.
Thanks, Mark. My pleasure. Delighted to be here.
Oh, you bet. I know how busy you are, and it's an honor. I know you turned down a lot of radio opportunities, and I appreciate you coming back. I'm still here. So, I mean, maybe that's, you know, says something. You know, I'm not good.
Yeah, as long as, you know, the master key to success, keep the same phone number. Don't screw up.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, I was interested to ask you right off the bat kind of what you thought about a little bit of our prior conversation with Jeff Shamus. I know that you were listening in a little bit. When it comes to managing clients and client databases and all that, what is your initial reaction to a lot of that? And I know you talk about that topic too.
Oh, it sounds great. And I think your guest was right on in that you need to find kind of what's the tech and what's the gear that is probably a little bit of a stretch, but not too much. And also, you know, obviously getting data into the digital form. It doesn't have to be that sophisticated, but start it from there. Then you can do all kinds of things with it as you graduate and grow up. So, you know, with that data, that doesn't have to be lost. So, you know, all great advice, I think.
Well, I wanted to get your input as maybe a good transitionary comment here for our topic today, productivity, of course. I mean, you probably get sick of that word, but one of the questions I wanted to ask you, I didn't get to ask you last time you were on our show. It's been a while, but do you ever feel like you're more of a psychologist than a business coach? People come to you with so much stress, and you feel like you're I don't know. Is it sometimes even more mental than practical that you're helping people get over this hurdle of productivity?
Well, I think people may think that because, you know, my stuff is not about the gear. It's about a thought process. And, you know, a lot of the world is fine. It's in your head. It's not. You know, the world doesn't need your help, you know, and it's not confused, by the way, you know, and it's not overwhelmed. You know, rivers just get things done. Nature just gets things done. So it's really about... So I think people think that. I'm just a practicing human being, though. You know, just like you learn how to walk, you learn how to talk. There are ways to learn how to think. You don't have to be a psychologist to do that. And so I just discovered over the years that there were ways to think and ways to focus and ways to put your attention on things that actually then was you were able to achieve a result with a whole lot less effort. And also a way to diffuse a lot of what creates a lot of stress and frustration for people. So I just sort of figured out that algorithm. So I'm not telling people they need to get any better. I'm just saying, hey, here's some data. You try this, I absolutely guarantee that you'll feel more relaxed, focused, in control, and meaningfully engaged if you do these simple little things. Whether you do or not, it's your choice. My job was to figure out what that was, and it's actually quite easy to do.
Do you know why when someone becomes a small business owner and they maybe have – and I know you consult with large organizations and CEOs down to the mom and pops of the world, but everything in between, when you become an entrepreneur and you're kind of controlling your own destiny, what's one of the traps people fall into that maybe creates a lot of that stress? Like, what's that mentality that you're just like, man, and I'm sure there's several, it's a combination of things, but what are some of the things that leap out to you first that just people fall into that they should avoid?
Well, you know, it's probably as different as there are people, but some of the common things are that people had a real focus in order to build that, to build whatever their unique niche was or to make a choice about that professionally, and then that the world starts to run out from under them based upon what they start to take on and then be accountable for to themselves. And their systems, they don't keep up in terms of their behaviors and their systems with that. And then it's the most productive people that are most stressed out because they're producing a lot of stuff that's then backfiring on them. And so, you know, they wouldn't have so much stress if they didn't have that sort of creative, you know, go get them kind of energy. But that's the energy that also creates a lot of blowback if they don't know how to manage that. And, And basically, they let their life be driven off latest and loudest, which won't work very long.
Well, do you think expectations play a lot into it? That people think, oh, I'm going to start my small business, and then I have these outlandish expectations of either profit or free time or more money, and then the stress comes in. Oh, it's not like that. I wonder what.
Well, that's just, yeah, there's a solution for that. It's called get older. That's inevitable, right? So relax. You know? You'll learn. People's eyes are bigger than their stomachs. Come on, everybody's. Most people have a clue how many things they've actually committed to. That's a lot of my work, is to get them just to be real. Hey, let's get everything out of your head you've actually wrapped yourself around. Oh, I need cat food. I need to find God. I need a new assistant. I need a new car. I wanted to check out this new thing. Hey, I just heard from Jeff about this great new software that I want to go try. And the people are sitting there just spinning all this stuff, and they're letting loose a cage of wild monkeys inside their head. So it's fine to make those kind of commitments, but you better be accountable for them to yourself. Otherwise, you're letting your psyche try to keep track of that and try to maintain perspective. And it's nuts in there if you try to do that. You can't do it that way. If you could do it that way, you'd never need a calendar, because you could do all that in your head. So the fact that people have calendars means you've got to, they've already admitted that their world is more complex than their brain can keep up with. So if you're keeping a calendar, why don't you keep track of all the rest of the stuff?
Yeah. Let's start with your flagship book here for a minute. I've got a couple other more touchy-feely questions for you, but Getting Things Done, arguably your seminal work here. And what's interesting is this book's over 10 years old and it's timeless. I mean, even with all the advances in technology, people still pick up your book and read it and have an incredible experience and feel that their stress has lifted. It's a very meaty book, lots of content, well over 250 pages in single space format. I don't think I'll have Susie Orman on my time anytime soon, so I'll just say it's nothing like her book that was in size 12, 14 font and, 9 lines per page to fill up a book. But sorry, that was brutal. But David, so in your Getting Things Done book, which has got so much information in here, what are some of the, let's just throw it out there, what are some of the immediate things a small business owner could do to feel more productive and less stressed?
Go up to a huge whiteboard or get yourself a big piece of paper and dump everything out of your head that's pulling on you that you've got your attention on. So you've got to go through stage one is absolutely critical, that you need to capture or collect or objectify all those things that are actually pulling on your psyche. And what that means is anything that's not on cruise control. See, a lot of stuff is not on your mind because some part of you says, hey, that's on cruise control. So that means as soon as something is on your mind, ooh, I need to get increase my equity line at the bank. Or, I've been thinking, I just realized I got a bald tire and I probably need to do something about that. So those are the kinds of things that you need to capture. Little, big, personal, professional, just do that. Just a big core dump, then get it all out. Don't try to decide about it. Don't try to organize it. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking that the first thing to do is get organized, but you don't actually have the content to organize yet until you do a couple of steps. And step one is just identify everything, little, big, personal, professional. So that's job one.
And I like what you said, anything that's not on autopilot. So if I feel like I'm worried about it, if it's causing me stress and it feels like a responsibility, just put it on the whiteboard or on the white sheet of paper. Just get it out there.
And it doesn't have to be a negative thing. It can be opportunities. Ooh, there's a cool person I wanted to meet. Or that's a great restaurant I might want to take a client to. Or that's, so anything. Just anything that pops into your head. So, it's much better to overdo this and then say, oh, that's a dumb idea, or I don't need to do anything about that. Great. Then later on you can make that decision. But right now you just want to empty what we call psychic RAM, that short-term memory space. Because that part of your psyche hanging on to that stuff, it has no sense of past or future. So it'll beat you bloody about all those things simply because that's where you're holding it. And it doesn't know how to stage those things. It doesn't know how to create a relationship between them. So it'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and beat you bloody about some dorky little thing that's not really strategic in your life. That's how stupid it is.
Okay, I like it. And much like our guest, Jeff, that spoke with us a moment ago, some of you may be thinking, oh, I really need to organize my clients and their info better, put that on the list. And then that brings us to step two. What do I do next?
Yeah. Step two, just throw in a simple little question that'll really get take this to another step. For each one of those things, ask yourself, what's the very next action? If I had nothing else to do but that, what would I do? If you wrote down, I need to, look into a better way to manage my client list, great. How would you do that? And if you go, I don't know, I say, I'll pay you $1 million to start. I guarantee you, you'd make at least a bad call. So decide something. Even as pick up the phone and dial people numbers at random. Hey, do you know anything about client management software? And if you don't, do you know anybody who does? I guarantee you within 6 calls, you could have the Pope if you wanted. You're that close. So don't avoid it simply because you don't know what to do. Pick something and then course correct. So you don't have to have the whole thing planned out. You don't have to have the whole thing figured out. You need to say, okay, what's the outcome? There are really two key questions. What am I trying to produce here? What's the final thing I want? And what's the very, very next step that I need to take? And the next action is just such a catalytic key to how do I get stuff off my mind. The reason it's on your mind is because some part of you have some commitment to do something about it, but if you haven't made the decision about what doing would look like and where it happens, then there's a part of you that's not keeping your agreement with yourself about it. So
we haven't, quote unquote, like you said, we haven't organized anything yet, but in this stage two, I'm creating a big to-do list. It's like all the things that I would need to do in order to deal with the things that are in phase one.
The problem is most people's to-do lists are incomplete lists of still unclear stuff. You know, what you'd see on a to-do list is client management software. Great. What you don't see, what you still don't have is the real content you need to organize. What you need to organize are two things about that. What's the project there, which you'll get to mark off as done when what's true, and you need to start a project list. And that project, once you define the project, call either just research, because you may decide you don't want to do it, but at least research, or install new client management software. Now I got a project. Now I got a goal. Now I got an unchecked off box that I want to keep in front of me until I can check that box off. So then you say, what's the very next action? And if that's search the web, if it's call Jeff, if it's whatever it is, but what's the next physical thing? And if you actually don't do that physical thing right then, that's something you then need to organize. I need a reminder to make that call, or I need a reminder to then surf the web about X, Y, and Z, or I need a reminder to, you know, talk to this guy, you know, that works for me because he seems to know something about it. So let me just have an agenda conversation with him about that. So those are once you've now defined what the action is, a trigger or a reminder to take that action is the other thing you need to organize. So you need to organize a list of projects, and you need to organize a list of next action that you need to take on those projects.
Okay. So step one, in summary, throw everything up on the sheet of paper or up on the whiteboard. Number two, what are the projects or action items that need to take place to move those pressures or those projects along, those concerns along? And then number three,
what are the outcomes? So that's just what your project list is. So you need to keep track of that. And what do I need to do about it? Once you've done that, and then you say, okay, now where do I park those appropriately? That's what you're organizing. And then you get, essentially, you're emptying out your in-basket. This is how you get your in-basket empty. Because all those ideas out of your head are like throwing them into your own in-basket, which is what I do. I throw all my notes into my own in-baskets until I can then sit down and make these decisions. Once I do that, that's how I clean up my in-basket, by making these executive decisions about what is the action, what's the outcome, and then parking those in appropriate places. And that's where you then start to create organization. Okay, now I've got, most people, by the way, have 30 to 100 projects, and most people have between 150, 200 next actions. So once you actually generate that inventory, then it's going to start to make sense to find some sort of structure. And for the most part, all you need are lists, some sort of a list manager. Could be a loose leaf notebook if you like that, you know, paper-based version of it, or you could get the digital version, and there are hundreds out there. Jeff mentioned Outlook. That's a lot of people will maybe use the task function inside of there. He mentioned Gmail. All these things, anything that has a place that you can keep track of lists, and a lot of those come under the guise of task managers.
Okay.
As long as you can create more than one kind of list, then you're fine.
Okay. Well, let me throw this out. I want you to speak honestly and critically of me, if needs be. I want to see what critiques you might give me. Many of my clients and many of my listeners are at least familiar, if not have read my book titled What Your CPA Isn't Telling You, my newest book. And in it, I have a section on strategic planning, something that I think CPAs should talk more about with their clients. And that is, I have an appendix that says you should carry around with you a little strategic plan. And once a week, once a month, very least once a month, put down a list of the strategic things you need to do to move your business along, take it to the next level. What are those things you should be working on? It should be a manageable list, kind of a weekly list, a month, a 6 month, and a year plan, and just carry it around with you. When you have thoughts and ideas, put it down there. But if you don't have it written down and have a plan, then you're going to feel overwhelmed, and you're not going to progress at all, and your business isn't going to be where you want it to be 6 months or 12 months from now. Now, that's a very simplistic approach from a quote-unquote CPA, telling their clients to do something to take their business to the next level. What would you add to that, David? Like, if you were saying, okay, Mark, that's good, but let me add a few bells and whistles. What comes to mind to you?
Well, the main thing about it is, and I've already mentioned it, is that you get next actions off each one of those, because those are very likely to lie fallow, you know, unless you say, okay, so what exactly do I need to do about that? To some degree, it may depend on how elevated is the objective or the goal. If it's a big one, then you're going to need to see, well, look, what are the projects that I need to actually finish to make that happen? And a lot of times the strategic plan may be a kind of a wish list. I would like to grow by 15% or 20%, or I'd like to get 3 major clients worth X amount of dollars to me or whatever. And you may not be able to guarantee that, but the question is, okay, what would you need to do that you can control? Because you can't control their buying decisions. All you can do is maximize their opportunity to play. But what do you need to do to make sure that happens? Do you have a project? Like, do you need to hire somebody? Do you need to install a piece of software? What are the projects that you might need against that strategic plan? Sometimes the strategic plan, if it's a short-term one, may just be the projects themselves. Yeah, in turn to move the needle on my business, I just need to hire a sales manager, or I need to install the software. So in which case, you know, I call a project anything you're committed to finish that you can finish within a year, because those are the kind of things, to your point, that you really need to look at least once a week to feel like you're orienting yourself appropriately. So as you know, one of the big success factors of GTD is doing something we call the weekly review. Once a week, you need that 1 to 2 hours to bring up the rear guard and see where you are. And you're suggesting something that would be maybe up at the next level up, which is, you know, every couple of weeks or month or so, you need to say, okay, wait, what's the big direction here? And do I have all the appropriate projects and then all the appropriate action items about those? Because, see, if I grabbed any of your folks who took your admonition and stopped them on the street and say, hey, give me your list of your strategy stuff, and they pull it out, if they can't tell me a next action and what that is on any one of those bullet points, then you've actually created more frustration than you have orientation.
So I like it.
They've got to have a commitment to execute on those things, and that's what I would bring to the table.
I like it. I like it, and I appreciate that. That's a really neat insight. And when I talk about my strategic plan, I'm going to do that from now on. Talk about the actionability of what needs to happen versus just setting goals and vision.
Nothing wrong with goals and vision. But don't frustrate yourself. You know, I have a lot of visions, and I'm not sure how to get from here to there, that I just keep holding because I know how it affects me unconsciously and starts to affect some of the decisions I make. You know, is that moving toward that picture or not? I just don't frustrate myself with it. So visioning is great. So there's nothing, don't hold back on the admonition to people to have as many wonderful pictures about where they'd like to go with life or career or company. Absolutely. It's just that the frustration will come from how come that's not happening. Oh, well, then that's when the execution part of it's going to have to come into play.
Well, let me ask you here in our last minute or so, and this has just been a pleasure. I really enjoy having you here. I could just listen to you all day long. I'm sure people do in your workshops. but of your books, which one do you like the best? Do you like Getting Things Done, Ready for Anything, Making It All Work? Which one is your favorite?
My favorite is Ready for Anything, because it's lightweight and it's a lot of the subtlety. See, a lot of people, when they run across GTD, I mean, come on, I had to write Getting Things Done because it truly is the manual about this, and it is timeless. We made that point to make sure that these are timeless principles, no matter what goes on in the world. So that had to get out there. So in terms of importance, that was critical. But the one I really like, and when I find people that really like that one, because Ready for Anything is just a compilation of essays that I wrote sort of between the lines. Before there were blogs, I was actually blogging. Those were just, hey, let me sit down and let people know some of the subtleties about what it is, what happens when they start to apply these what look like mundane and fairly simple methodologies, but have a huge and can have a huge and profound effect in terms of quality of life. So that's why number two is my favorite.
Well, thanks. You know, ironically, I'm sitting here in front of me. I have Making It All Work and Getting Things Done. So I'm going to go out and purchase Ready for Anything. Folks, we just had a wonderful opportunity to hear from David Allen. And I'm looking at your website, so I want to say davidco.com. So if anybody would like to learn more about David, please go to his website, davidco.com. Go to Amazon, pick up his books, and it's just been a pleasure. David, thanks so much for finding some time to be with us again. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me, Mark. I appreciate it. It was fun.
We'll have you back. Thank you again. Well, appreciate it. Well, folks, again, hopefully you've had an incredible experience here on the Mark Kohler Show, going through strategies to be more productive. So get your strategic plan out. Get your punch list out, your project list. Hopefully we've impacted you in some way today. It'll change your life. And see you next week at 10 on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Hope to see you here, and we'll be here for another round of Living the American Dream. Have an awesome day.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.